Dave, a special feature from John Jones and Bob Marshall. But now let's go back to John Corcelli and more music.
Thank you very much, Pat. The time we have, well, 25 and a half minutes away from noon hour from an EP that's a release, Hunters and Collectors on 88.1 CKLN FM. You're listening to Newswave at 20 minutes to 12, which is the correct time, despite all the blackouts and all that stuff that we experienced the other night.
Yes, you're right, John.
Yes, I'll tell you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And now, Newswave brings you a new feature, International Connections.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Connection. My name is John Jones. With me is Bob Marshall. We have news and information from two researchers today. The first, Mae Brussel, and later on we'll get to tape from Sherman Skolnick.
Mae Brussel is a broadcaster in Carmel, California. She went on the air by 1971, and she broadcast till 1982 at one station. She then was asked to leave the station, and she went to a publicly funded station and was there for 2 years, and on August 6th, she did her last radio broadcast because her son's life was threatened, and she had a few strange things happening to her in the weeks before that. So she continues making her tapes privately, and we'll be getting them for news each week.
We should mention that she's 62 years of age, first of all, and the second thing that her sources are...
Newspapers.
Yeah, sources that are available to everyone, and she has researchers working for her virtually around the world.
As well as getting 10 or 20 newspapers a day, scanning them religiously, and having built this file up since 1963, she has enormous resources and background immediately on any new story that comes. So we're going to get the background to the names and faces in the news today.
As well, in her library, she has one of the sets of the Warren Commission
reports. The
26
volumes. Yeah. The 26 volumes. And she spent several years cross-filing those 29,000 items, and she says that cracked the Rosetta Stone for her of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And the same people in those 26 volumes are showing up today in the news.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a couple of stories from her.
The first story I'd like to bring up is the death of James Thornwell. He was a victim of the MKUltra program developed by the CIA in the early 60s. They administered him some LSD while he was in the Army, and as a result, he suffered mental damage.
Right.
But the CIA and Defense Department wouldn't recognize his complaints, so he ended up wandering around the states for the last 19 years. And it wasn't until 1980 that 60 Minutes did a story on his case. And as a result, he won a settlement with the CIA. Well, he died recently from an apparent epileptic seizure in a swimming pool in Vallejo, California. They're not sure why he died, but he died from an apparent epileptic seizure. Another interesting story is about Mark Rich, who is 50% owner of 20th Century Fox. On his board, he has Henry Kissinger, Gerald Ford, and the late Princess Grace of Monaco. He has been charged with tax evasion and, as a result, fled the country. He's now paying $50,000 a day fine for not appearing in American courts. That fine total now is up to $48 million. So he's willing to pay that fine rather than come back to the States. He's presently hanging out in Zug, Switzerland. And what has recently come out is that he had been involved with illegal shipments of oil to South Africa and had made a marked up price profit of $400 million. So it seems he has a lot of money to pay the fines with. The third story I'd like to mention is the recent DeLorean trial. The grand jury heard evidence of jury tampering. And it came out that a San Francisco couple had been sending fan letters of John DeLorean, or for John DeLorean, to the jury members. The question came up, how did they get the addresses of the jury members? The key suspect in that little incident was Gordon Novel. Gordon Novel is a close friend of John DeLorean, and he was Larry Flynt's security advisor during Larry Flynt's presidential campaign last fall when he ran for president. Novel was also the man responsible for giving the phony tapes showing the FBI threatening DeLorean and his family if they didn't go along with the dope deal. Knobel gave those tapes to Larry Flynt, and Larry Flynt used them in his campaign, got them on the networks. Gordon Knobel has an interesting history. He's been charged with being the umbrella man in the Kennedy assassination. They haven't been able to bring him to trial over this, but the umbrella man was a key figure, according to assassination researchers, in moving the umbrella up and down. That gave the signal to the snipers from the grassy knoll, and maybe snipers in the building that Oswald shot from, apparently. So Knobel has surfaced again in this summer's news. Another story is the Vatican charge that the Pope was shot by people from Bulgaria and KGB agents. This story is beginning to fall apart because Mehmet Agca, who's now in jail for shooting the Pope, has withdrawn his testimony, or part of it at least, which implicates the Bulgarian connections. So the prosecutor in Rome is having trouble making this case stand up. John Loftus, the author of the book The Belarus Secret, had a press conference in London in May, and he said too much attention was being put on the Vatican as being responsible for creating the Rat Line, which was the underground railroad for the Nazis being shipped to South America and the rest of the Third World. He says that Alan Dulles, former director of the CIA and also on the Warren Commission, should be blamed more than the Vatican, though there were Vatican people involved. So he's interested in emphasizing the John Dulles and CIA connection to that. A sideline to the Rat Line is Licio Gelli. In the book that just came out called In God's Name by David Yalop, he points out that Licio Gelli was the man who organized the Rat Line. Now, Licio Gelli is an Italian who had to leave the country around the time the Pope was shot because it was discovered that he was head of a secret society called the P2 Society, a supposedly Masonic group. Gelli recently sent a memo of 24 pages to the investigation of this P2 scandal because as a result of it, many members of the cabinet were on that list back in 81 and had to resign. But Gelli fled to Argentina and recently he sent a memo implicating other people that are presently in the Italian cabinet, and as a result the Italian Minister for the Budget, Pietro Longo, had to resign. So even though many people resigned from the Italian government due to the P2 scandal, the secret society, the government within the government, they still haven't all left, and Gelli is saying that every name that he gave that they found on the list back in 81 were close associates of his.
Mm-hmm.
But he himself is living in Argentina and free from this.
Let's move to the Sherman Skolnick tape now.
Sherman Skolnick has a telephone news service which you can call 24 hours a day, and he will feature a 5-minute tape on the average. If you call after midnight, it's relatively inexpensive.
He's out of Chicago, right?
Yes.
Broadcast out of Chicago.
His phone service is
in Chicago.
He's a researcher there.
And two of the tapes are news-oriented services. The other is sort of a
chuckle of the week.
Right, a comic sketch, a parody of what has happened in the news.
By Skolnick himself.
This first tape that we're going to hear, we'll do one today and then another one tomorrow.
Yeah, the one we're doing today was what was available the week of the Republican convention. And this one's about Ronald Reagan and the history of the team behind him.
Hi, Sherman Skolnick bringing you news. Killed by the Monopoly Press. Presented 24 hours a day by the Citizens Committee to clean up the courts. 9800 South Oglesby. This is a story about the Continental Bank, Adolf Hitler, General Electric, and Ronald Reagan. Little known documents show that General Electric has an unparalleled role in 20th century history. The multinational giant financed the rise of Adolf Hitler in Germany. This is shown in the seldom mentioned book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, by Anthony Sutton. A document, part of the Nuremberg Military Tribunal, shows that in March 1933, German General Electric instructed their Berlin bank to pay 60,000 Reichsmarks to the fund used to elect Hitler in that same month. It was administered by Rudolf Hess. To cover it up may be the reason he, at the age of 90, is still locked up as a war prisoner in Berlin. Someone gave the word to the Allies during the Second World War, do not bomb General Electric's plants in Nazi Germany. As shown by the U.S. Strategic Bombing Survey reports, General Electric's plants in Germany were not touched all during the war. Only a few windows were damaged, apparently by mistake. As a result, documents show the war effort in Germany was never hindered in any important manner by any shortage of electrical equipment. It is likely from all the circumstances that a lot of the General Electric Nazi business deals went through the Chicago-based Continental Bank. After the war, for some 25 years, the spokesman for General Electric was a movie star, Ronald Reagan. He visited all the General Electric plants giving pep talks. His smiling face was used to smash the formation of a labor union. On the television, Ronald Reagan hosted a right-wing reactionary brainwashing series called the General Electric Theater. Starting in the 1950s, this went on for many years. To many workers and TV watchers, Ronald Reagan was the man from General Electric. Then, in May 1984, Japanese business firms started a run on the Continental Bank. For 2 years previous, they had supplied the hot money to keep the bank going along with its holding company. The Japanese apparently found out the insiders were quietly selling their 2 million shares and withdrawing their huge deposits. The Japanese were too smart to be left holding the bank. Their group included electric equipment manufacturers competing with General Electric. Maybe they saw the little-known U.S. government report showing the General Electric Pension Trust was the third largest stockholder of Continental Illinois Corp. From his many years as General Electric's mouthpiece, Reagan apparently had a substantial interest in their pension trust, which means Reagan owned a chunk of Continental. The media soft-pedaled the White House's role in all this. June 1st, 3 weeks after the run started, the Wall Street Journal ran a strange story, apparently planted by General Electric. GE bum-wrapped Japanese-manufactured video equipment right on the eve of the giant consumer electronics show at Chicago's McCormick Place. Of course, the exhibits are dominated by Japanese goods. Continental Bank is a house of secrets, the records showing their apparent complicity with General Electric and the rise of Hitler, Continental's tie-in to General Electric and the rise of Ronald Reagan. Just before the run on Continental, Ronald Reagan quietly signed secret laws providing for martial law and an iron fist in case of a so-called economic emergency. For a chuckle here, this week's surprise message of the week, 731-1107. To leave a comment or tip about our work, 731-3332.
That's the International Connection for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more.